I'm Jill Anderson. This is the Harvard EdCast. Tina Owen Moore was tired of students not showing up to school, or even worse, dropping out. The issue of bullying was so out of control in many cases that it was truly interfering with students' ability to even go to school. She knew in order to do anything, we really needed to conquer bullying for kids and make school a safe space. Back in 2005, she co-created the Alliance School in Milwaukee. It's a unique high school that emphasizes fostering relationships and understanding and inclusivity. That focus has really made it bully-proof. Tina spoke about this need for a systemic approach to bullying and how there are so many things that educators can do to create an anti-bullying environment. I wanted to know more about why bullying is so hard to get a handle on, and what is the secret to the Alliance way?
Everybody knew that this was a problem, but most people's reaction was, bullying's always been there, it's always going to be there, there's nothing we can do. I didn't think that was true. Just from my own experiences in the classroom, I had learned as an educator that there were things I could do intentionally to make the classroom more safe and inclusive for students and to change the relationships between students. And so I felt like we could do this work, and we had to, because I saw so many students dropping out or not coming to school anymore because school wasn't a place that felt safe or happy for them to be.
And this was a while ago. I mean, 2004 was when you started the school?
2005 was when we opened.
Yeah. What would you say, if you had to summarize, is the Alliance way?
I would say the Alliance way is to really focus on relationships as being the key thing that drives change in culture. Like, we had a core belief at Alliance that says, if you can see yourself in others, whom can you harm? So everything we did as a school community was built to get people to know each other well, to get adults to know each other well, to get students to know each other well, to get adults and students to know each other well, so that people are less likely to cause harm.
Can you talk a little bit about how you did that?
Yeah. So if you think about a classroom dynamic, so many times in classrooms, students are seated in rows and facing the front, and there's very little interaction. And you could go through a whole year and not know one story about the person who sat next to you in class. And so rather than just letting that be the case, we intentionally used group learning where we would build in opportunities to share stories, to make connections, to use games to get kids to know each other. Service learning was a big piece of what we did. So our students were finding out what the needs of the community were and then working together in service of the community. So they were both learning the stories of people they were working with and sharing their own, and through that, building connections and community. We used restorative practices also to build connections between people, not as a disciplinary practice first, but first to build connections and then, when needed, to repair harm.
I find it so interesting that you created this school focused on relationships and acceptance and getting to really know people and identify, you know, parts of yourself that you can find in other people and that type of thing and understanding, and that it was so successful in conquering bullying. I mean, there are a lot of elements that went into it beyond that.
Yeah.
Does it take starting completely new schools to conquer bullying, or are there ways we can do it in schools that already exist?
People have asked me a lot, should we create more Alliance schools? Is that what we need to do? And I've always said, no, we need more schools to become more like the Alliance School, because they really are practices that anybody can pick up. And that was a really big piece of writing the book, like, these are things that we can do. And I think that people are hungry for that kind of relationship building, both adults, students. These are things that we can do. And I think people have to have the opportunity to experience that kind of connection. Perhaps it has to happen in teacher preparation programs, in professional development. Like, there are ways we can start building these opportunities for people to have those experiences so that that starts to translate into the classroom and to build classrooms that become models for other people to learn from.
Is there a simple thing that schools could do to address bullying that maybe they just don't do? Like, it's so obvious they're not even doing it.
I think, like, one of the simplest things when it comes to addressing bullying is just, like, do you have a procedure that you teach students for how to report it when they see it? I mean, most schools don't have any way of reporting it. They don't. There's no forms. There's no apps. There's no, like, some people have used apps and things like that where students can report it and it still gets investigated before it's anything happens. But there is a system and it's taught to students from the very beginning, like, if you see this happen, this is what you do. So I think that's one of the things when you're addressing bullying. I think most of the work, though, has to happen in the prevention part of it, in building those relationships so that you may have harm happening, but it's never getting to that level of bullying because the community won't allow it. They know each other's stories and they're not going to let something happen to somebody.
So maybe you can clarify what you mean when you're talking about the difference between harm and bullying.
Yeah. Yeah, I think these are really important things to learn and distinguish, too. So, you know, we talked about harm happening because you can harm somebody without intention to harm someone. Mm-hmm. And it's still your responsibility to repair that harm.
Right.
So we started from that. So if I say something that hurts you, whether or not I intended it to, I want to make that right with you. Mm-hmm. So if we start from there, from the beginning, then we never get to a place of bullying because we're addressing the harm as it happens. We are, you know, handling it as a community. Bullying is the repeated pattern of using power to cause harm. Mm-hmm. And in most cases, it never has to get to that state. It's a shame if it gets to that state. Like, we should be able to address things early and really protect the culture and prevent it.
What type of systems to handle this?
So there were so many things that we did as a school community. This is something that's going to be always changing as a school. Like, you're going to see things, you're going to see patterns and say, okay, we need to address something like that. So some of the things we did was before the school year started, we had a couple of conference days where we taught students about bullying, conflict, the differences, what it looks like, what to do when you have issues. So having those systems in place where students know what it is, know what the school's expectations are, and know how to report. And then teaching students about different groups, about different belief systems, like about culture, so that they have that understanding. And as different groups come in, reteaching, like, we had a large population of students with autism start coming to our school because students with autism have often experienced a lot of bullying. Mm-hmm. And so as that community grew and our students didn't know what it meant for someone to have autism, we taught our whole school community about what is autism, what does that mean for the student, what does that mean for us, so that they would be better able to be a good friend to someone with autism. And then there's other things like the systems you create for teachers to report, the systems that you put in place for consequences. We had restorative justice for dealing with both conflict and for harm. So there's a difference between conflict and bullying. Conflict has to do when two people are having an argument, right? Like, there's a disagreement and it's going back and forth. And so the way you can deal with that is with both people in a circle or a mediation. When it's an actual incident of somebody causing harm using power, you never want to put that person in the same space as the person that they're causing harm to, because that person can be re-injured. So we had a peer justice council where that student would have to come before their peers for consequences in that case. So having the systems in place for how to deal with each type of conflict, bullying, situations that arise is really important.
When the school opened in 2005, social media, I have to guess, was not as central in kids' lives at that point. So do you think that the explosion of social media has impacted bullying? And I'm wondering if it's changed things in your school.
Yeah, when we were starting the school, cyberbullying was just becoming a word. So when we were writing our proposal, it wasn't even a topic to address. And then by the time we opened, it was already quite an issue. I think that cyberbullying has changed it in some ways, in that when bullying does happen, it happens faster and can be more intense mm-hmm. individually and more damaging and dangerous in that way. But the problem is still the same, and addressing it is still the same. I think one of the things schools struggle with is, do we address it? Because this is something that happens outside right. of school. My belief as an educator and school leader was that if it impacts school, we have to address it, because these people are in relationship in our school community. So anything that happened in the world of social media, we addressed as if it was at school.
Hmm. And so that's your... recommendation, would you say? Or is it to sort of instill the same systems and practices that you would have inside your school walls to outside?
Well, yeah, in some ways we saw social media as just a bigger classroom. And
right.
so we taught our students how to respond if you see something on social media. You know, who do you contact? How do you take a picture of it and send it to somebody? How do you report it on social media so that it gets taken down? So our students were so much in the practice of recognizing it that they knew that if like five people report this on social media, the site will take it down. Whereas if it was just me as a school leader, like, hey, this is up, you need to take it down, it would take a week
right.
or two. But if five students got on and reported it, it would get taken down.
Right.
So teaching young people to be active in the fight against it, to standing up and saying, this is not who we are, just like being an upstander in the school community, being an upstander on social media was just as important.
If you can't get buy-in from all of your students, how can this work?
I think most people want to mm-hmm. be in community with people who are kind.
Right.
Like, you know, if you can trust somebody, you want to be around them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a common thing. And the other thing is, when we started our school, we thought maybe we would be a community where it was people who were choosing to be there, but everybody came to our school. And we had extra seats at the beginning, so we just got assigned whoever still had a seat, or mm-hmm. people who picked it because A was the first letter in the alphabet. And so there were a lot of people who came to our school who maybe didn't believe in that vision. But we always had this belief that if this is going to work, it's going to work for everybody. Like, mm-hmm. this truly is the way that's going to work for everybody. And so we welcomed everybody in with that same acceptance, like, this is a place for you too, because everybody has experienced a time when they didn't right. feel welcome in a place. It was beautiful to see these people who were very different come together and find community.
What would you say is something that has surprised you learning about bullying and culture at schools?
I think one of the things I'm seeing a lot of lately is that socio-emotional learning is big in schools, and that's a really good thing. It's had a lot of positive impacts. And yet, as I dig into data around youth risk behavior surveys and things, I'm not seeing the drop in bullying rates just in using those practices. And I'm thinking that has a lot to do with the fact that a lot of times the socio-emotional learning is the work that we do with students, and the work that we have to do to address bullying is the work that we do around systems mm-hmm. and creating the systems and the dynamics that make young people not want to bully. You know, it's not just like knowing the definitions and the ways. It's about the system rewarding and taking care of people because this is our community.
How hard is it to change school culture and climate?
I don't think it's as hard as people think.
Really?
You can often feel when you walk into a place if the culture is struggling. And when you do, it often just takes a few compliments and conversations with people before it starts to shift. I had this principal teach me, like, you got to give people six praises before they can hear a critique, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you walk into a space and you just, like, authentic praise for a little bit of time, you can feel the culture shift, whether that's adults, students, anybody. So I think just some really thoughtful attention and knowing that you got to feed people's souls and hearts in this space can change the culture really quickly. It's just often not the thing people think of as a lever for change.
Fascinating stuff. Well, thank you so much, Tina, for coming in and talking today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Tina Owen Moore is the co-creator of the Alliance School in Milwaukee. She is the author of The Alliance Way, The Making of a Bully-Free School. I'm Jill Anderson. This is the Harvard EdCast, produced by the Harvard Graduate School of Education. Thanks for listening.